This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United Podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you. We started this journey last week in saying this prayer and going through this process and this journey to say, not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. And we find it in the book of Luke 22:42, if you want to go there with me. Jesus prayed this incredible prayer the night that was before the crucifixion. He's in the garden. He is in intense stress, a mental anguish, emotional turmoil to make the most important historical decision of all time, to go to the cross. And in the midst of all that emotion and in the midst of all that things that were running through his mind possibly that night, he made a decision to pray a prayer and go on a process that said, not my will, but your will be done. So we're continuing in that series, and I think it's such a powerful thing to think and to pray and ultimately to live, for that to be our behavior. And as we think about this prayer, let's jump over to the story of Jonah. You can find it in your Bibles between Obadiah and Micah. It's in the Minor Prophets right before you cross over to the New Testament. But if you can't find it, it's all right. I'm going to give you the encapsulated version of it. But you may want to go home and read it because it's a powerful reference, I think, to where God is taking us. The story of Jonah is a story of a man who clearly can hear the voice of God. How many people have you've ever felt God was saying something to you, or somebody spoke, God spoke to you through somebody? How many people you say, I've heard God one way or the other? And Jonah heard the voice of God, heard the word of God, and he goes the opposite direction. How many people have gone opposite the direction that God was kind of pushing you in one season or another of your life? And so we look at Jonah, we can find ourselves, we can see ourselves in Jonah. And it's interesting because Jonah is interrupted by God. And it's interesting how things can be normal, things can be going business as usual, and then God interrupts us. He interrupts our schedule. He interrupts our patterns. He interrupts our ideas. He interrupts our assumptions. He interrupts our life. And God interrupts Jonah in this way. Jonah was comfortable where he was. He was in the town that he was comfortable among friends and family. And then God called him to take this long journey and do something that he was completely uncomfortable with doing. And God interrupts him. And God wants to interrupt us too. Look at somebody and say, God wants to interrupt you. And God can do these things that make us uncomfortable. That sometimes God's will, when we're saying, not my will, but your will, sometimes his will lead us beyond what we're comfortable with. We go out, he calls us to go outside of our expectations and outside of the four walls of the church. Sometimes he'll ask you to do stuff around your friends and your family, to live your testimony out loud, right? Not my will, but your will be done. His will can sometimes get uncomfortable. He'll ask you sometimes to do things outside of your personality. How many people have ever told God, well, God, that's not me. That's not my style. That's not the person I am. And God says, okay, that's good that you said that. Now put that to the shelf, back to what I was saying. Because God calls us to do things that are sometimes outside of what we're comfortable with. And Jesus actually challenged his disciples in Luke 6:27 and 28. He said, but to you who are willing to listen, all right, look at somebody and ask them, are you willing? Jesus said, for those that you are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. So God calls us to do things that are outside of our comfort zone. And God sends Jonah to his enemies. And the people of Nineveh, he sends them to Nineveh. And Nineveh is kind of got a bad reputation and a bad relationship with Israel, and sometimes they persecute and torment and torture and kill Israelis, and so it's a problem here because God sends Jonah to his enemies. And that's how we know oftentimes that it's God's will and not our will, because he sends us to our enemies. And God's will cause you to have to work with, to have to deal with, to have to brush shoulders with, and to have to even minister to enemies. And that's the reality of not my will. Living a life that is saying, not just praying, but also living a life that is not my will. When I sang one of the first solos that I sang, I was with my dad at a youth camp. And I was not intending to sing a solo, and I was not prepared to sing the solo. I hadn't learned all the lyrics to the song, and this is a problem. And so I was not intending on doing it that night, but evidently my dad was intending on me singing this song. And no, this is one of those type of solos. I don't know, there's like two types of solos that you sing. There's solos that you got your friends and your people behind you that are also supporting, and they're kind of carrying you through some of the places. And then you have the solo that's a solo solo, that there's nobody on the stage and it's just you. And there's a track playing in the background. And so we're at this youth camp, and there's a few hundred kids out there that are a little bit older than me. And you know that pressure that you have to impress, and you don't want to be embarrassed in front of people that are a little bit older than you. And my dad, he's speaking, and he said, well, before I speak, I want my son to sing. Joshua, come on up here. And so he said, and I don't know how the sound man get my track, but they said, and play that track. And they play the track, and I'm there standing by myself. And I want to tell you what happened for the next 3 minutes was the most creative freestyling that you've ever seen of lyrics. You've seen some freestyles, but I don't even know if I was close to the theme, the original theme of the song. But so I sang. And this is the way, though, God often deals with us. He takes us to a place that we're uncomfortable with, but it prepares us for our destiny. He takes us to a place that we're not completely comfortable, and it's somewhere we haven't been before, but yet it's pointing us in the direction of destiny. And so we see that God does this. And we all want divine intervention, but what happens when God intervenes in our life and it doesn't look like we expected? We pray these prayers and we have these assumptions that he's going to move in a particular way, but what happens if he comes and he shows up, but he moves a way that's different than we thought he was going to move? Sometimes things get worse before they get better. Amen? That night, it was pretty bad at the youth camp. The song was bad. I was thinking about the movie Rocky. How many guys you remember the movie Rocky? Okay. Rocky. And so he went through some battles before he could be the champ, right? There were some times that he was looking pretty rough. He got beat up pretty bad before he became the champion. And sometimes while God is making this greatness inside of us, we go through some battles. Sometimes we pray, God, help me grow. And God says, okay. And then we have growing pains. And we pray, God, help me be more like you. And God says, okay. Then he breaks us and remolds us. Divine intervention can look so much different than we originally expected. And God oftentimes turns our expectation on its head. And I've learned to expect the unexpected from God. Amen? Expect that God is going to do some things that I wasn't even on my radar. And I'm going to just adjust my thinking and roll with the punches. Look at somebody say, roll with the punches. Because God has a different way of thinking. And we pray, God, interrupt my will. And when we pray that prayer, God, interrupt my will, it's a dangerous prayer. It's a powerful prayer. It's a productive prayer, but it's a dangerous prayer because God begins to interrupt our will, and we're praying this prayer, and he interrupts different things, shuffles around different things in our life. And even when we have plans, Proverbs 16:9 says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Anybody ever had that day that you had everything planned out perfectly and then life happened? And the day just got turned on its head. Well, this is like the best version of that. We plan our day, and it says in Proverbs that God is going to come in and he's going to shuffle stuff around and he's going to do things the way that he sees that is best for us. And so what happens when God interrupts our plans? Several years back when I was a youth pastor, God was really started laying on my heart to go deeper into have a deeper prayer relationship with him, like dedicate more time in prayer. And so like many men, I looked for a way to delay that. Amen. Men, you know where you are. And I delayed and I delayed and I delayed doing what God was starting to push on my heart. But the thing that I didn't understand was the very thing that God was pressing on my heart was what I needed to get me to the next level. What God was asking of me was actually going to help me get to the next level. It's like God saying to us, you want to have a relationship with me? And we say, yes, Lord. Yes, I want to have a relationship with you. And then he said, let's spend some more time together. Why don't you move some of the stuff in your life out of the way and make some more time for me? It's like God saying, you want to take this thing to the next level? And we say, oh God, yeah, I want to take this thing to the next level. And he says, well, give me some of your time. Give me some more of your time. And it's interesting because we want this greater life and we talk about having this greater life and pressing into a greater life, but we don't oftentimes want to be interrupted. Ever had a day like that? You just, please stop interrupting me. You know, sometimes I get in my room, I'm in my office, I'm trying to study and it's summer and the kids keep busting in and asking crazy questions. He touched me. All these interruptions. But what happens when God interrupts us? Men, do you remember when you first fell in love? How many men you remember when you first fell in love? How much were you willing to change to enter into that committed relationship? Do you remember how much you were willing to change to enter into that committed relationship? Women, do you remember that? You were willing to change all kinds of stuff, right? To enter into that committed relationship. Well, I was thinking about it this week. We enter into a relationship with God, and we don't expect or anticipate for Him to begin to change things in our lives. I think it's the American part of our culture that we want to have a relationship with as little sacrifice as possible. But when we enter into a relationship with God, how much more impacting and life-altering is it going to be? How much is He going to change everything? And God gets in our life and He begins to interrupt things. He begins to interrupt our priorities. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. I find a lot of times at churches they misinterpret this. They say, oh, God's going to give me everything that I want. Hallelujah. But they forgot the first part that says, delight yourself in the Lord. And then He gives you the desire of your heart. And it's basically saying that as God changes our heart, then He gives us our heart's desire. And it's true. God is going to give you the desires of your heart. Yep. But first, He's going to change your heart. Could you imagine actually how detrimental it would be for people that are still living the old way with a lot of the bad habits and bad hang-ups and sin lifestyle to get exactly what they wanted from God? That would be a bad thing. And so God says, I'm going to give you the desires of your heart, but first I'm going to change your heart. And God does this. He interrupts our priorities and he says, delight yourself in me first. First, learn to delight yourself in me. I'm just delighted to follow God. I'm delighted to be interrupted. I'm delighted for God to do some unexpected things in my life. I'm excited because I know whatever he is going to introduce into my life is going to be better than what I'm doing right now. God is always going to give us an interruption and things are going to be better. It's going to be more of a blessing when he interrupts us. Nothing that God gives is a step down. God's never going to tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, I want to do something less in your life. It's like, excuse me, I want to interrupt you and I would like for you to go from one income level to a lower income level. I just want to kind of subtract from your life at this point. God doesn't leave us with less. God blesses us with more. So when he interrupts, it's powerful. God interrupts our priorities and God interrupts the way that we talk. Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's the process of God changing our speech pattern, God changing the way that we talk. And I challenge you, if you still talk the same way that you did when you came to Christ, you haven't let the Spirit really penetrate your heart deep enough, because a transformed person has a transformed speech pattern. Because when God's will and God's word gets into you, it begins to change you. It changes the words that you say. It begins that the things that you said before, you can't say anymore. And then there's some new things that you want to say that you didn't want to say before. What you're saying, just vocabulary gets changed all around. And then he interrupts your thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So God affects the way that we think. And if you still think the same, go back to listen to last week's podcast. God can and will transform the way that you think if you let him. A true relationship with God is like that. It will change the way that you see the world. It will change the way that you process life. The journey to God's will transform you. It will transform your thinking. So, what now? I am inviting God's interruption into my life. How many would say, I want to invite God's interruption into my life? And what am I going to do when God interrupts me? Am I going to be ready for the interruption? Am I going to welcome his interruption in my life? How can I be prepared for that interruption? Because this is the matter of prayer and the matter of process that we're talking about when we're talking about not my will, but your will. Not what I want, God. It's what you want. What you want, because I know that you see things from a different vantage point. I know that you can see the best things for me better than I can see the best things. So God, not my will, but your will be done. And whatever that looks like, even if it looks different than I expected, even if it looks uncomfortable, God, I want it. God, I want it all. God, I want your will in my life. Will you bow your heads with me? Because I believe God wants to do something so transformational in us. God wants to do something so powerful in our lives, but sometimes we got to take our hand off the steering wheel. Let him put his hand on the steering wheel. Sometimes we have to surrender. The Holy Spirit is constantly challenging us to look at different areas of our life and surrender that area. Maybe we thought we had surrendered everything, but then there's always some area that the Holy Spirit says, hey, this is the next step in the process. This is the next area to address. This is the next area to surrender. This is the next place that we bow the knee and say, God, not my will, but your will be done. So God, we pray today, Lord, that you touch each and every person. Touch them. God, help them to transform. Help them to see the areas that they need to change. Help them see the areas that they need to submit and surrender to your will. And God, we truly pray the prayer today. Not my will, but your will. Not my will, but your will. And God, give us the strength that it becomes more than just a prayer, but it also becomes the life that we live. God, not my will, but yours. God, I surrender to what you have, because what you have is the very best. And as we're praying, maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be. I'm not where I want to be with Jesus. I feel a little disconnected. Maybe I've drifted a little bit, but I know something's off with my relationship with God, and I want to get back on track. If that's you, slip up your hand. I want to pray for you today. Amen. Amen. God can do in a moment. Amen. God can do in a moment what it would take us so long to do. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to intervene. He wants to step in. He wants to interrupt in the best way that you could possibly imagine. If that's you, don't miss this opportunity. I'm going to give one last minute. If that's you, slip up your hand. Slip up your hand. Yes. Yes. And if you slipped up your hand, pray this prayer with me. And everybody, you can join in and pray this prayer with us. Jesus, I surrender. Jesus, not my will, but your will be done. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, for wiping away every sin, every shortcoming, every bad mistake, every part of my old ways, and making me new. You've made me new today. Thank you for reconnecting me to the Father. Teach me how to walk with you. Teach me how to lay down my will and pick up your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God the praise today.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.